Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
So the other question, of course, it's not just about the horrible situation in the country, but there's actually a global problem, because are we educating our children for jobs for a life that we actually don't yet understand? And I read something, or maybe it was just some kind of a YouTube thing that I saw, about how the jobs that didn't exist when we were at school. So how are we educating our children? How are we preparing them for the future if we don't really know how things are going to evolve? Joseph Gerassi, executive head at Red Hill School, joins us this morning. Joseph, thanks for doing that. How are you?
I'm very well, and you, Howard?
I am well, thank you. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? Because we've got this education system that is somewhat conservative in many, many ways, but we've got this incredibly fast-changing, innovative world that just doesn't care about what happened back at school and what's happening in the grade 3 classroom.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing up this discussion, because I think it is probably the discussion that needs to be spoken about most in terms of educators getting together and looking at exactly how we should be looking at the world of work. Now, we know that the world of work, I mean, schools are around in order to prepare students for the world of work. Right from the time of the Industrial Revolution, the only difference was during the Industrial Revolution, we were preparing students for an industrialized society. And so students were taught how to take commands, how to listen, how to regurgitate information, because that was what was required in the factories.
Gosh, my kids would have failed the Industrial Revolution.
Today we know that the biggest issue that is going to be facing the world of work is this word called artificial intelligence, and that is the ability for computers to learn, see, think, and communicate like human beings.
Right.
Now, if computers can do that, what is the place for us as human beings if all we're doing is learning how to regurgitate facts and content information? Because computers can do it far better than human beings can. And so we get this entire process whereby people are petrified that jobs are going to be taken away, and what are our young students going to be able to do? I mean, if we take processes like accounting, things that can be automated, well, computers are going to be able to do that far better than human beings. They're even saying that computers will be able to diagnose illnesses far better than the best doctors in the world. So what are doctors going to do?
Joseph, I'll tell you one more thing. In fact, a team that I'm working with took all of my articles and my manuscript and put it into some fancy thing program, AI program, and they gave it a topic, and it wrote an article in my style with my thought process that I couldn't have actually told the difference, which was so alarming, because it could even write articles that sounded like me, and that so what am I going to be doing?
Absolutely. And I think that is the problem. And I think if we just go first at looking at the way schools are doing things, whatever most schools are talking about, Howard, the reality is that we're not really looking at the soft skills that are going to be required. And when I talk about soft skills, I'm talking about skills that can be taught that are not content, not knowledge, kids are going to be able to get. It's looking at different things. If you look at kids today, if you give them open-ended questions, they often come back with, I don't know, I can't answer that. So we have to start giving kids projects and questions that there are no exact answers for. We've got to allow our students to be able to fail. We've got to be brave enough to put them into situations where they have to learn to become far more resilient. Finland, at the moment, are looking at doing away with most of their subject-based subjects, so geography, history, those type of things, and concentrating more on issues like communication, collaboration, creativity, critical thinking, because in reality, those are the kind of things that schools, that computers are not going to be able to do. Computers can't deal with empathy.
Computers can't deal with strategic thinking. Body language. why aren't we teaching body language to our children? That's a way of understanding, you know, Jacob standing in the side of the class with his arms folded and his head down. You know, even if we don't understand that he's automatically that he's sad, maybe the fact that his arms are folded is, you know, we can process these things, and then we learn these skills for later on in life. We need them every single day.
These
are the things I would imagine we should be teaching our children as well.
So if one does the research, one is absolutely looking at doing that, and schools are going to have to be brave enough to do that, because the problem with schools at the moment is that schools and teachers are used to being able to teach content information, subject information. All of a sudden, talking about things like teaching adaptability or teaching resilience or getting kids to be continuously learning is out of most teachers' comfort zone. Let's even look at issues like blended learning. So, you know, teachers were forced to go into online learning, but I guarantee you that 90% of schools have now gone back to exactly the way they were teaching before the coronavirus hit us. And that's just not something that we can be doing. I've actually said at the school that I'm at that the next thing that we have to look at seriously is this entire idea of blended learning. We know that the workplace has changed completely because of the virus. Are we allowing our children to adapt to that? Are our kids going to be coming into school every single day again? Are they going to be sitting in classrooms again? Or are we going to be looking at innovative ways for kids to be able to learn at home, be able to come into school, be able to learn in different ways? How are we adapting to allow them to be ready for that world where they're not going to all be going into the office and sitting in rows and having a manager tell them what to do? And you can get as many distinctions as you want, but when you hit the real world of work, you're not going to be able to adapt. Some of the information that's coming out is saying that, you know, students in engineering, right, whatever they've learned in their first year, by the time they have graduated, most of that they'll have to relearn again because it will have changed. So what is the use of having all of that content knowledge if you don't know what to do?
So therefore, it's what? It's about research. It's about the ability, about, as you said earlier, critical thinking. How to assess whether something is accurate or not. How to verify it. How to find things. Obviously, you need the basics, because without the basics, you have nothing really to build off. But
so, for instance, Howard, you know, mathematics is an important subject. Right. But I would say that design and technology are as important in the world that we're going to go into. You know, design and technology is the way of the future. Design allows you to look at a concept, be able to see if it's working, if it's not working, and then have to reimagine what will happen. We've got to look at things like project-based learning. We've got to look at getting our kids into, we've got to have relationships with industry, right? We've got to get into the industry. We've got to have partnerships with big business to see how are they changing and how can we adapt our schooling to that. So five of the big skills that I would suggest schools look at, definitely, as you said, creativity, critical thinking, self-management is a really, really important one. Social intelligence, as you were talking about now, being able to understand what is happening in social and emotional intelligence, and then attention management, being able to manage yourself, be able to plan, to do all of those type of things are going to be really, really important. So, yeah, I think we are definitely going to have to look at how do we actually change. We're going to have to realize that we can never stop learning. We've got to keep developing these soft skills in schools. And we've got to make sure that these soft skills that we talk about are part of a mindset change for both ourselves as educators and of our students.
What about things like coding? Are you teaching coding at Red Hill, for example?
So at the moment, we're embarking upon an enormous project where we're rebuilding an entire center as an innovation hub. Where design, coding, robotics, AI, artificial intelligence, all of these things are going to be taught. But most importantly, it's going to be a place where students are going to be able to congregate together to work out problems. Mm. If we are not changing our schools to be able to say that the biggest advantage we can give our children today is to pose questions, is to give them questions that don't have definite answers, and to allow them to be able to engage with one another in collaborative groups. I can't express how important this idea of collaboration is. the world moving forward is going to be about people getting together from different parts of the world with different backgrounds. And if we don't, at the moment, we still give our kids individual projects to do. You know what it's like. As soon as a parent sees that their child is having to work in a group, no, I don't like that. That child hasn't put in enough work. My child's done all the work. Well, welcome to the real world. There are going to be people that are going to work harder and other people that are 100%. Not going to work as hard.
That's such a valuable
and
skill.
And our parents are going to have to come on board with the new way of learning, because often it is our parents who only can go back to when they were taught, and that is their reality. And they have to understand that the world is changing, and together we have to find a new way forward. And we're working at Red Hill definitely on looking at how do we actually change education. Look, the reality is grade 11 and 12, until the universities decide to change the way.
You have very few options there, because it's formulaic almost. You've got to follow.
That's why grade 11 and 12, you're teaching children for an exam. But that is one of the reasons we formed a middle school, because from grade 6 to the end of grade 10, these are all the skills that we're now teaching our kids. And we're doing away very much with a traditional assessment. We're doing far less assessment in our school in terms of traditional rote learning and regurgitating. And we're doing far more issues around project-based learning, coming up with big projects, having to try and understand where there is a problem and how would you solve that particular problem. These are the greatest skills we can give our kids at school.
Absolutely amazing. Joseph Jarrass, Executive Head at Red Hill School, talking to us this morning about how schools need to prepare their students for the world at work.